You could talk, I think, 300 hours for this. No?
Okay, very good. Let's start. With Hashem's help, we're continuing the series on relationships, in particular the idea of Kibbud Av V'Em. Last week we focused on a statement of the Gemara, Masechta Kiddushin, which Rashi quotes in his Pirush on Chumash and Parshas Kedoshim. It says, Ish imo v'oviv tiro. Ish means a man as opposed to a woman. Why is a woman different than a man? So the Gemara tells us, as we saw last month in Shabbos, that sometimes a woman who gets married is Rishus Acherim Aleha. She is somehow the domain of another person upon her, presumably her husband, and therefore she's unable to fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore it says Ish and not Isha. We spoke about a question that was raised by Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, who says, wait a minute, we learned in the Gemara, which we get so last week, Kavod and Mora are particular definitions. Now, for this, we'll be able to assist ourselves with this week's Mekoros. We have a sheet, which is an English Hebrew sheet, which comes from the Ramban al HaTorah. Ramban al HaTorah, which tells us that there are certain specific items that are referred to in terms of Kibbud Av V'Em. We take a look on left page, footnote 150 on the bottom. We saw this last week. What constitutes honoring parents? Giving them food and drink, dressing them, covering them, taking them in and out. Okay, that's footnote 158, which is a Gemara Mufereshes and Masechta Kiddushin, Adaf Lam and Aleph Amud Beis. Now, the question, of course, becomes, what is Mora? Mora is Ish Ivo Ovo Tiro. So he said, I'll just read you the Gemara once again, because there's a shortage of sheets, there's plenty of them over here. Ish Ivo Ovo Tiro, what does Tiro mean? So the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Kiddushin, on the very same daf, as what we distributed last week. What is Mora? I read it to you. Lo Omer Bimkomo, Lo Yoshe Bimkomo, Lo Sosir Estvarov, Lo Machriya. Mora is fulfilled by someone who's not standing or sitting in his father's place, not contradicting his words, and not even machriya, not even saying that he's right, which implies that you have the ability to say that he's wrong. So the question which somebody from the audience raised last week was an obvious one. It's even easier to fulfill Mora of V'Em after you're married. Why? Because you move out of your house, you're far away from home, so you can't sit in your father's chair, and you can't sit in your mother's chair, and you can't contradict your father or your mother, and you're far away. And so it's even easier to fulfill Mora when you're married. This question was raised by the Mizrahi. And the Mizrahi says that, to use the words of the rabbis, Im einu inyan the Mora, tenehu inyan the kibbut. Doesn't really mean tiro. No. Tiro applies to ish and isha, male and female, married or single. And the limitation is referring to kibbut avayim. Kibbud Av V'Em applies to individuals who are single, and a man who's married, we discussed the details last week, but does not apply to a woman who's married, because she's unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. That's the opinion of the Mizrahi, not the simple interpretation. The Maharal in the Gur Aryeh disagrees, and I have it for you, those who have the same piece of paper that has the English on one side, flipped to the other side. We're going to see the Maharal in two places. We're going to go back and forth this page, both sides, a few times, so get ready to keep flipping. So I'd like you to see the Hebrew in its original, because it's important to the original. So there is a Maharal, actually, really the Maharal has two different things. One is his Perish and Chumash, and Chumash and Rashi, called the Gur Aryeh. So that's found on the, what it's called, it says on the ninth line on the page, which says Bugur Arya Sham in parentheses. That's what the Maharal. And this is his words. Again, it's against the Mizrahi, as referred to in the previous line. And his words works. Umasha Avar al Devara Lo Shkiach Aleha. If a person does not pay attention to the words of a parent, who over moro'o, such as a violation of reverence. Ulif amim v'haino darmino le'el isha ein sibek v'yod alasos. A woman cannot do it. Why can't you do it? She won't sit in his chair. She won't contradict his words. Why? Father tells his married daughter, feed me. But she does not follow her father's wishes because she's been to take care of her husband. He overes mora. She is in violation of mora, but properly so, because she's exempt from mora. That's what says ish ima v'aviv tiro, that once she's married, she's no longer obligated in mora. Of course, the question becomes, yes?
Isn't that a contradiction to what we learned last week, that mora is not sitting in his
seat? Oh, that's a great question. But the mora is not sitting in a seat and not contradicting. What's going on over here? So the Maharal asked that question in the next paragraph. Maharal asked the question, see, he says in the Gemara, parentheses, Lamed Aleph and Beis, what examples are given over there? We saw in 158, we saw the example for kibbut. That means giving them food and drink, dressing them, covering them, taking them in and out. Okay, that's what's called kavod. And what is called mora? What is called mora, I don't find it specifically in this English language page. So I read it to you from the Gemara, which you read last week, and they're a total of the following things. Lo omer b'mekavav le'yoshu b'mekavav. Don't stand and sit in his seat. Lo sosir tvarav, don't contradict him. Lo machria, don't even say, well, we'll see later what that means. So he says three things. Did not want them. What's the problem? So the Maharal asked that question. Look what his answer is. The Gemara Noctu, they gave examples of kibud b'limora or mora b'likibud. And they gave specific examples of only one and not the other. To feed him and to clothe him, that's kibud and not mora. To contradict his words or sit in his place is mora but not kibud. Let's continue. For the chen lo noktu ha, they didn't mention that. The av mitzave levein lasos dava ploni below asov. If the father tells his son to do something, he doesn't do it. The over al kibud v'al mora. It's on, you're violating both. Whenever you don't follow what your father says, you're violating both kibud and mora. That's what he says. And that's what the words of the Mara, to which I added, we'll see soon. That's the Mara's word, ploni. We're not discussing something about giving food or drink. Nonetheless, mikayim kibud. Him oser etzon avim, you fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim. If you follow your father or mother, follow the father or mother. But over al kibud umora, and you are in violation of both kibud and mora. Kishalo oser kitzivuyo. If you don't follow his command, and I quoted from Rav Perlo in this parish in Rav Sadiko. This is what it seems. And then I quote a Ramban, and the Ramban is the flip side. Now let's go to get the flip side. The Ramban. We'll start at the very top. The very top is the Chumash itself. Kaveda Savicha Vesimecha. Honor your father and your mother. Okay? Says the Ramban. And we'll start with the Hebrew and then we'll go. You know what? I think it's a little bit easier to do the Hebrew and English together. That is on page 518. We're in the middle of the page where the Ramban goes on. Hine Hishlim Kol Masha Onu Chayovim Bedivri Habore Beatmo Vechvod. Now, scripture was completed after the first four of the Ten Commandments. There are sheets in the front. Without which we are, everything we are obligated to do regarding matters of the Creator Himself and regarding His glory. Right? And now it, means the scripture, the Torah, the Seras Adibris, changes the subject to give us commandments concerning created beings, all your fellow men. And when we begin the Bein Adam Lachavero, the Hislam min Ha'av, Shehula told also of Cain Gore. It begins a series of commandments with one concerning the Father, for he is something akin to a creator for his offspring, Mishtate V'Yetzira, acting as a partner in the formation of the child. We know that. He's referred to this Talmudic statement a few times, footnote 155, see Kiddushin 30b. There are three partners in the creation of a person. The Holy One, blessed is He, the Father, and the Mother. Famous Gemara, three partners. So we're beginning with Hashem's partner, Ki Hashem Avinu Harishon, for God is our primary Father. provides our soul and life force. V'hamolid avinu ha'achro, and the one who begat us is our final father. V'lachein amar, kasher tzivisicha b'chvodi, kein ani mitzavcha b'chvod ha'mishtatech ibi b'yitzi rasa. Therefore God is saying, in effect, just as I've given you commands regarding my honor, so am I giving you a command regarding the honor of the one who was my partner in creating you. Okay? Remarkable Ramah. He hasn't yet told us, what does it mean? How do you give honor to Hashem? We know, it's all the mitzvahs. How do you give honor to a father and a mother? Let's keep reading. What exactly are the parameters of the commandment to honor one's parents? Rambam discusses this. Now, scripture did not elaborate on the honor that it requires us to give to our parents. Doesn't say anything. For it can be learned from the honor that was mentioned previously regarding the primary father. May he be blessed. This means Hashem. Just as you honor Hashem, so you should honor your father and mother. Now on the next page, page 519, first line in Ramban elucidated. Sheyodebo Shewabim. Now, let's review before we start. Who knows the first four commandments by heart? What are the first four commandments? You should know this. What's the first? Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. The second one? Lilechem Acherim. Third one? Lo Sisa Shashav. The fourth one? Shabbos. Let's see how that's read. Sheyodebo Shewabim. It requires of a person that he acknowledge him that he is indeed his father. That's the parallel to what? Anochi. Lo yichbar bo leimah lo namacha shuavim. That he not deny him, saying about another person that he is the father. That's what? Lo yilach lemachem. Lo yavdenu, oh, this is an interesting thing. Lo yavdenu kibayin li rushaso o linacha shiitzap. Nor should he serve his father like a son looking forward to his inheritance, nor for any other matter that he hopes to receive from him. Where is that coming from? Al to you, Kavodim. Come on, finish your sentence. Amasham Shemes Arav. Amanas Kavod Pras. We shouldn't serve Hashem in order to be able to get reward. So you shouldn't serve your father and mother in order to get reward. Okay. Lo Yisa Shemava V'Yishava Chayav Yilashav for the Sheker. And he should not utter the name of his father and swear by the life of my father. In vain or falsely. It's obviously taken from. Lo Caesar Shem Hashem Elokecha Lasha. Fine. Now we go to the small print. Having explained that the definition of honoring one's parents can be derived from the honor God demands for himself, Rabban explains that regarding parents there are additional means of honoring them. The Kansu Bichlal Akovah Dvarim Acherim. But other things as well come under the category of honor. Ki Bichol Kivodo Nitzdavim. For we are commanded to provide all kinds of honor for our parent, umfurashim heim v'diver avoseinu. These other kinds of honor are elaborated upon in the words of our sages, Kedusha 31. We just read it before in footnote 158, right? Food, drink, dressing, covering, in and out. All right. Now we go a little further. Rabban supports the interpretation of honor for parents. Ukva'amru shehu kash tvodo lechvod hamakom. And the sages have already said that the honor of one's parents is compared to the honor of the omnipresent. What does that mean? 159. The Talmud cites a Baraisa that states, it is written, Kabei, honor your father and your mother. And it is written, Kabei is Hashem Mehonecha. You hear Kabei, de Kabei. Scripture thus equates honoring one's father and mother to honoring the omnipresent. This shows that the manifestations of honor shown to parents are meant to mirror those shown to God, as Ramban explained above. Wow. Quite a we'll call it a maximalist approach. Everything you have to do for Hashem, you have to do, as it were, for your father and mother. Same thing. Everything's included. So what? Yes?
Yeah, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to us, because say your parent asks you to give you some cookies and you know they have diabetes, you're not going to give it to them.
If your parents have asked you for cookies and they have diabetes,
yeah,
so you wouldn't give it to them because they may die as a result of you giving them diabetes.
Right, so you're not listening to them for their benefit, but you're not listening to them.
Okay, obviously, when it comes to Hashem, whatever he commands is for our benefit.
Right.
So there's no fundamental distinction between Hashem and the parents. It's a side point. And the parents, when someone's asking for something, which makes no sense.
Right.
Hashem, there's no such thing. We'll get to that further, hopefully, in our discussion this evening. Okay? It's a very good question. Okay, so we've read the Ramban. So now, what is the Ramban saying? He's saying exactly the same as the Maharal Miprag said. The Maharal Miprag said that in the Gemara, they're giving specific examples. And the Maharal was even more rigorous in his analysis. They gave examples of that which is kavod and not mora, or mora and not kavod. To give your parents food and drink is kavod, not mora. Not to sit in their seats or contradict them, is mora, not kavod. But there's so many things which are both. Namely, if you do what they say, you have kavod and mora. In the broadest sense, they say do something. That's what the Maharal said. Let's go flip the page one more time. See what the Maharal said. Again, on page 188, the second complete paragraph, just to repeat it a second time, that the Gemara talks kibud v'lo mora, u'mora v'li kibud, and therefore they did not mention in the Gemara when the father says to the son, do something, and he didn't do it. If that's the case, over al kibud v'al mora, he tells you to do something, you don't do it, you're in violation of both kibud and not mora. Kibud and not mora. And therefore, I read the Ramban as the next as the third paragraph, and the last line I added to the Ramban, v'nire, the lasos ritzon aviv b'chlal kibud av, dugmas chiyuvenu, lasos ritzon avinu shabashamayim. So therefore, according to this analysis, as we saw in the Maharal, if a man tells his married daughter, give me food, and she doesn't do it, because she is taking care of her husband, she is not fulfilling his request. Thereby, she is not doing what he said, and by definition, she's not giving him kibud or mora. So when it says ish ibav amav tiro to exclude a married woman, not only is she exempt from mora, she's also exempt from kibud, because she's by not doing what her father said. By definition, she's not giving him kibud and not giving him mora. So that's the Maharal Miprag. That's a very broad definition based upon the Ramban. Whenever your parent tells you to do something, you don't do it, you are in violation of both kibud and mora. So the topic of today's shiur was, must a person obey a parent? At the first glance, you say obedience, it slips between the cracks. It's not kibud, it's not mora. Because kibud in the Gemara is feeding them. Mora is not sitting in their place. Never says you have to obey. So the Ramban says, that's kibud without mora. This is mora without kibud. To obey, that's kibud and mora. Then we have to obey Hashem. This is the maximalist approach as far as kibud av ei is concerned. It's called the approach of the Ramban and the Maharal Miprag. In similar lines, there's a Sefer HaMakne. The Sefer HaMakne was written by the Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, Pinchas Horowitz, and he writes, this is the next paragraph of the Sefer HaMakne, Kosa. To me, she'eno mekayim tzivui oviv nidon kisoser estivarov. Someone mentioned that either this week or last. That the reason why you have to obey a parent, if you don't obey them, you're contradicting them. So there's no need to go to this maximalist approach and tell us that the Talmud is giving us a few small examples, but it is overarching obligation. No, we can suggest that for this moment, that the mitzvah of kibud and mora is restricted and limited to that which is said in the Talmud. But if you disregard a command of your father, you are in effect contradicting his words. So therefore you are in violation of what? Of mora of a, not kibud. According to the Maharal we saw before and the Ramban, it's both. But according to the Makasei, it's only mora. And he goes on. For over al mora levad, kishe'en bohem hanoa saguf. If it pertains to something which has physical pleasure, then that's kibud. But if your father asks you, can you please bring me the newspaper? And you don't bring it, so you're not a violation of kibud. You don't eat the newspaper. That's not considered to be kibud. Just please bring me an apple, you don't bring it. You're in violation of kibud and mora. If he says, bring me the New York Times, and you don't bring it, so you're in violation of mora, because you contradicted his words. Interestingly, the same Maharal Miprag, that in his Pirush on Chumash and Rashi, the Gerariyeh has this maximalist approach, it's kavod, it's morah, as per the Ramban and Chumash. In his Pirush on Kiddushin, Kiddushi Agadus has a more minimalist approach, akin to the Sefer HaMakom. Let's read his own words. The Ramban's words here are in opposition to his words elsewhere. Oh, the Eshlom, this is my verbatim quotation, the last full paragraph on the first column on page 188. Oh, the Eshlom, v'lekamon katoni v'lo sos teres tvarot. You may not contradict his words. The Yesh b'chlal zayireh she'ein sifek b'yada. He gives a specific example. Kigom, sha'omer ha'av lebito, tavo le'achol imi. Come and eat with me. Interesting. Come and eat with me. In his previous example, on the first, from the first full paragraph on this page 188, what did he say? Amalavia, hachileni, feed me. Now he's saying, eat with me. Notice this, the nuance changes. Nonetheless, imi overes al dvarav, hari soseres dvarav gamkein. If she doesn't follow his words, she's contradicting those words. Dema shehi overes al dvarav gamkein stira mikri. If you don't follow through with the parents' command, you are contradicting his words. Vize ein sibik biyada. It's not her ability to fulfill this. Why? Dirishus acherim oleva. Because the husband says, stay with me. So therefore, by definition, ish imo vavav tiro, but not an isha nesua, because she's constrained. She's not able to fulfill the mitzvah of moro, because she's going to have to contradict his words. He says, come eat with me. She said, I'm sorry, I have to eat with my husband. Okay, so she's exempt from eating with her father, she has to eat with her husband. So right, the maral over here, in Kiddush, as opposed to what the maral said in the Gurariye, in Parshas Kedoshim, this is Kiddushim, that's Kedoshim, there he says that it's both Kibbutz and Mora as per the Rambam. Now, the question of course becomes, what do we say? Why is it that she is required to listen to her husband and not to her father? So, at first blush, what this means is, there are two conflicting commands. One command may be titled Mora Haba. Mora means, as we said before, not contradicting his words. And the source for that obligation, which is not found anywhere in the Torah, would be right over here. The fact that the Torah tells her she's exempt from Mora Haav once she's married means you're not required to, quote, obey your father, because you're required to, quote, obey your husband. So there's no more Mora Haav, because you have an overriding requirement of what we'll call Mora Habal. That's what it seems to be. And there are certain svarim which say so explicitly. Recent svarim. And I quoted from a sefer called the Pisrei Tshuva, a classical sefer, which is printed on the bottom of every standard Shulchan Aruch, and the citation is at the top of page 189. A very interesting thing. Here's a question. This is a touchy subject. The touchy subject is, must you respect and revere your in-laws? That's really touchy. I was afraid to touch it the first for sure, but all right, now we're getting into it. We can touch it. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're required to respect your in-laws. But there are no parameters, no details. There's a fantastically fiery fight amongst the poskim. What does this mean? There are the maximalists and the minimalists. Some say it's just about the same as Kibbutz Av Em, you know, the maximalists. Watch out for the maximalists. And then there are the minimalists who say, no, all it means is, presumably your in-laws are older than you. We spoke this morning about having respect for the previous generation. All people are older than you, have a little bit more white or gray hair. Yeah. No, that's all it means. Doesn't mean any more than that. So the Pisrei Tshuva is one of those minimalists. Minimalists, you don't have to give him the same honors you would give a parent. He proves it. Look at this. We have a general principle in the Gemara, Masechta Kiddushin, that's Laman Aleph, that's quoted over here on the fourth line. The fourth line. Ovim Omer Lo Hashkeni Mai. Father tells the son, bring me a cup of water. The Imo Omeres Hashkeni Mai. His mother at the same time says, give me water. What do you do? So says the Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara, Meiniach imo ve'osek b'chvod aviv. You give the water to your father and not to your mother. Why? The Gemara explains, it's quoted over here in the fifth line. Sha'ata ve'imcha chayavin b'kvod avicha. You and your mother are both obligated to respect your father. So the question is going to become, with respect to in-laws, why do we say as follows? At ubalech chayavim b'kvod avicha. If a son-in-law has an obligation of honor towards a father-in-law, akin to kibud av v'eim, so why does it say that a married woman is not obligated to honor her father? Yes, she is, because both she and her husband are obligated to honor her father, who is her father and his father-in-law. So you go around in circles. It must be, as the Pesach Teshuvah, that this obligation to honor a father-in-law is not much more than a simple obligation to respect your elders, which you were all taught when you were young. Respect your elders. Your in-laws are older than you. Give them like kishar is the Canaan bialma, as some say.
On the wife's side, though, it'll be different, because when she honors the in-laws, she's also honoring the husband at the same time.
Okay, that may be true. Maybe true. In any event, that's what it says. Fine. Fine. So therefore, the assumption over here is that there exists a measure of honor between a husband and a wife, and in fact, it does say so. The Gemara, you can't argue with the Gemara. The Gemara that we just quoted over here with the cup of water, where they both tell him at the same time to give him a cup of water, the Gemara does use that expression, Sha'ata v'imcha chayavin b'chvod avicha. That means your mother is obligated in some measure of chvod avicha. Wait a minute, stop! We're discussing now Mora. I started by saying, you get an impression from here that a woman is required to, quote, revere her husband and to, quote, unquote, obey him. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says what? Kivod avicha. That the woman is required to do what? Is required to give him a cup of water. That's all. So indeed, I have to say that for many years, I was convinced by these mefarshim that such a concept of Mora Ahabal existed. And there's a whole series of people, Chayodom, and there's a whole discussion if the Raisa, the Rabbanon. Afterwards, I realized that it's all a mistake. There's no obligation at all, not the Raisa, not the Rabbanon, for a married woman to have Mora Habal. It doesn't exist. The Gemara does say, try closing it. The Gemara.
Close the door, please.
The Gemara does say, it is an obligation of what we call kavod, your mother's chayv in kavod avicha. But what does that mean? It means you bring him a cup of water. That's all it means. And where does this come from? So I was enlightened by a beautiful responsor in the Shut B'Tzel HaChokhma. B'Tzel HaChokhma was Rav B'Tzalel Stern. He was a brother of the Debrecina Rav who lived in Barapop. He was a Rav for quite a while in Melbourne, Australia, among other places. And he writes, it's not true that a married woman is exempt from kibud av v'eim, not because of kavod, not because of mora, but, I think, as he correctly says, she is, quote, mishubedes lebala. She has certain responsibilities towards her husband. Yes, those responsibilities are called over here kavod avicha. Kavod is a term of art. You know what kavod means? Kavod is giving him food, giving him drink, as we saw before. She's required, part of the marriage contract, you know, it's not a contract, that's what it really means, as you saw last week, that she's supposed to provide him with certain, quote-unquote, services. To give him a cup of water when he needs it. When he needs it. That's all. Why is this relevant? Something very, very interesting. Then we discussed 2 weeks ago the issue of whether there exists an obligation of kavod amora to a father who is not observant. Was Eina Osa Masa Amcha. Remember the Rambam says yes, those who remember. We had it against the Gemara, and we had to give a fancy answer. And the Tur said no. Those who have the notes, you know, the handouts from 2 weeks, so we'll see it there. And the Ramah says no. As usual, the Ramah follows the Ashkenazi Pesach against the Rambam. There's no obligation of Kibud Av V'eim such an individual. What'll happen? This can exist. If there's a marriage, there used to be such marriages on a pretty frequent basis, probably exists today, when the woman is observant and the man is not. We today's world, you have to have the right color tablecloth and sneakers, and that's, I mean, we can't even imagine this today. But in years gone by, it was a different world. It was a broader view, you know? And the woman was observant, and Shomer Shabbos, and the man wasn't. There were such marriages existed. The question will be, the woman will tell her husband, my dear husband, I have no obligations to you, because I know that I have this kavod and this morah, but I read about it in the Ramah, it only applies to someone who is observant, it doesn't apply to you. That's true if her responsibility to her husband is based on kibud or morah, but it's not. It's based on the marriage covenant on Meshubedes. And therefore, if I'm right, she has responsibilities to her husband, even if he's not observant. It doesn't make a difference. It's not covenant, it's not morah. It's simply what we call a shibud. This being the case, I want to suggest that even the Maharal Miprag, who tells us that a woman who's married is exempt from morah avaheim, because she's required, as we saw, to take care of her husband, and she cannot feed her father, she cannot even eat with her father, which is bidden to take care of her husband, is not because of kibud habaal, not because of morah habaal. These obligations simply don't exist. Rather, what is it? The shibud. Where does the shibud come from? So Rav Moshe had the shibud as being what we call the marriage contract itself. This is what marriage means. She should be around to help him out. As we mentioned last week at some length, it's very contextual, very subjective, right? He spoke about the Rambam about leaving your house once a month. We said that's ridiculous. And we said if people have phones today, so if they have cell phones today, they can leave and then they have to come back if necessary. They're not restricted to be anywhere near the house. So too, whatever is considered to be the normal situation in that society where the husband and wife are living, that is what the woman must do with respect to her husband. And if this prevents her from fulfilling the father and mother's request, so by definition, she is not in compliance with morah av. The father says to her, do this. She says, I can't do it. I'm not taking care of my husband because of my shibud. They're not covered, not morah shibud. Now it is true, I would like to read you a Rambam. It's only a half a Rambam. For those who want the full half, you should look in the source. This Rambam used to be hanging up on my wall, but both halves. It should be taken out of context. The Rambam starts off by saying, Tzivu chachamim al ha'ish, you don't have this over here, that he has to take care of his wife. O'al v'kagufo, v'chav de'yosem v'gufo, and lo ye'otse v'lo ragzon. You're not allowed to be sad, you're not allowed to be angry. That's a very important requirement. All married men should know this, no matter what. That is another half. We only have the other half here, not because it's not relevant the other part to our present discussion. Someone came to my house this week collecting money. He says, where's that thing you had on the wall about husbands and wives? Where is that? I told him we took it down. He says, whoa. I said, don't worry, it's in the Rambam. I took out the Rambam and he never saw it. He didn't know where it came from. I opened the Rambam and I showed it to him. He was very excited. Okay. So here, I hope he keeps it. So here's what it says. This is the second full paragraph on page 189. She should honor him more than necessary. See, he has kibud and morah, he has. V'tazik ha'maseh al-pib, v'yia b'enek ha'mosar ha'melech, etc. U'v'dror ha'melu, again, it's only half a sentence, yia yishuma no'a meshuba. He has to love him as much as himself and honor him more than himself. And he should never get angry and he should never be sad. And she has to have this reciprocal responsibility. So the question is, there are some who say, based on this Rambam, that same Dvar Shmuel we had last week, that Mora Av is min HaTorah and Mora Baal is min HaRabbanan. Quotes the Rambam, Tzivu Chachamim. In my humble opinion, Tzivu Chachamim does not mean a rabbinical obligation. It means good advice. It's very, very important. Married men here and married women, it's very good advice to follow the words of the Rambam. It doesn't mean it's a technical obligation. And that's why right over here, Eitza Tova. I did a search by one of my students, this is in the beginning of the searches, 15 years ago or more, did a search for me on Tzivu Chachamim and the Rambam. He found it 15 times. I looked up all 15, he printed it out for me. none of them was an absolute obligation. It was just, you know, they give you good advice. We discussed this, those who have good memories, we discussed this last year. Who remembers? What was a good memory? Yeah?
I just remember the discussion. I don't remember the...
It was about not teaching a daughter Gemara. Again, in my view, it's not an absolute. It's an Eitz HaTova. In those days, things may be different. That was the comment that we mentioned the same search last year in the series of Ashir. Okay. Fascinating. Remarkable. Okay. However, there are two sides to this. I quote a Meiri, the next paragraph, that a married woman is obligated in mora of her father and is only exempt from kibud. That's what we call the opinion of the Mizrahi. Right? We mentioned earlier tonight and last week. If it's not referring to mora, it's referring to kibud. And we thought that Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam, who all say she's potter from kibud, they must have held like the Ra'om, Rabbi Eliezer Mizrahi, the main Owinyan, the Shitz Chayevis b'mora. Okay? That's what some said. And the question becomes, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how is it possible for a married woman to observe the mitzvah of mora if mora includes within it not contradicting your father? Your father says, please come and eat with me, and you can't come. So by definition, you're contradicting his words, as the Maklan and the Maral both said here in the Sefer Kiddushin. So I saw a recent book called the Kvod Horim, who says it's not true, that these authorities maintain there's no obligation to obey a parent, there's no such thing. What does mora mean? Shalom yivistar devar of mamish olei shivim komo. The question which people asked last week, you're far away from home, it's even easier to keep mora. You won't sit in the seat and you won't contradict them directly. So there are those who say, to go back to the title of tonight's year, must one obey a parent? A resounding no. So it's a dispute, three opinions. The Meiri presumably holds, when we explained from this Achronim, that must you obey a parent? No. The Hamakna says, must you obey a parent? Yes. And if you don't, you're in violation of Mora. Consider contradicting his words. The Ramban says, you have to obey a parent. And if you don't, it's Kavod and Mora. Twice you're in violation. So there are three opinions. Three different opinions. Now, I wanted to explain the Rashi, what we call in our language, the Shitosa. We saw the Gemara. Lo soser es dvara velo machriya. You shouldn't contradict his words, nor can you be machriya. What does machriya mean? So here's Rashi quoted the last two lines, it's page 189. Im hoya aviv v'chocham acher chalukim dvar alocha. A fight in halachic matters with his father and somebody else. Lo yomar nirim divrei ploni. You shouldn't say that the other guy is right. Should say, other guy's right. So the Rama asks, the famous Rabbi Meir Halevi, Im Kain Hainu, then we go to the next page, next piece of paper, page 190. Im Kain Hainu, top line, so Seres Devarov. So the Rama had a fairly broad definition of so Seres Devarov. Reuben and Shimon are fighting. Reuben is his father, Shimon's a different scholar. And he says that Shimon is right. Yes, Shimon is right. So you're contradicting your father Reuben, because Reuben and Shimon are fighting. Says the Ramah, that's the way it's quoted in the later Svarah. Ala filu nirano divayaviv, eno yochaloma nirin divayavi, shenirika machriya svarah. You can't even say, my father is right. What's wrong with that? Who are you anyway to say your father is right? As if you have the right to say your father is wrong, and the other guy's right. Even saying he's right is no good. That's the Ramah's interpretation. Because to say that the other guy is right, he's contradicting his words. So what does Rashi do? What's Pshat in Rashi? So Rashi means, all right, the next paragraph, that Soser as Dvarav is Mugbal Ma'od. It's very limited. Only if you tell your father, Dad, you're wrong. When you say your father, Dad, he's right, even that's not a contradiction. Even though it's they're fighting, it's clearly obvious that Dad is wrong. If you don't say the words, Dad, you're wrong, you're not considered contradicting his words. How much more so if Dad says, get me the paper, and you don't do it, you're not considered contradicting his words. A very limited definition is that of Rashi, Rambam, and Tosfos. Now, they might still agree with the Rambam that it's a broader definition of Kibud and Mora. But whatever it is, the narrow definition of Sol Stres Devarov, of the Sefer HaMakneh, and the Marami Prague, and his Pirish, and the Sefer Kiddushin, this Rashi disagrees with. That's clear. That's clear. But the Ramah, in fact, says that a married woman is exempt from both Morah and Kibbutz, because he considers if you don't obey him, you're in effect contradicting him. So look at this. A recent book called Kvod Horim asks a question which is so remarkable that I want to read you the entire thing from the text. It's a recent sefer. So you can get it in the library. It's probably where I got it. Okay. This is the third full paragraph on page 190. El Shekosha the Fizel Dimir HaMaral. Maral is more than difficult. Shre Lashita Zu Gam Ha'ish Potter Milishmo Abakolom B'mokom Hefzed Omaniyas Sholom Bayis. What will happen if the father commands his married son, I want you to eat supper with me every night? Your wife, she eat it herself. By a show of hands, who thinks that such a husband should listen to his father and leave his wife alone every single night? Who, by a show of hands? So we have a unanimous vote that you have to disobey your father. So he says, what's so unique? What do you mean, ish, you love? When you get married, you have to listen to your spouse and take care of them in both directions. What's going on over here? Why is it ish v'lo isha? It's a tremendous question. Tremendous question. So the man is potter, the woman is potter. There's no separate potter. But Tzorachin has no answer. He has no answer. This is a tremendous question. Again, why is it saying ish v'lo isha? It's really saying that shalom bayis and your responsibility to your spouse trumps your responsibility to your parent. But that doesn't sound that way. It sounds like you're talking in gender terms. This is the question. This opens up an even more touchy subject than in-laws. Only one. Yes?
Maybe it sounds like that maybe the source for that would be the pasuk al kein yazov ishak adu v'zima, and it doesn't have a similar pasuk for women.
I believe it applies to both. I believe it applies to both. That both, same as a man leaves his parents, so a woman leaves her parents, and they have to be involved in the spousal relationship. And this is exactly that which, you know, that possibly may be a reason why the responsibility to a spouse is more important and overrides responsibility to parents. Maybe in fact based on that puzzle of Al-Kenyaza. It's a very important puzzle. Some people unfortunately don't leave. And that's a big problem. Big problem. So those parents don't let go. It's also a big problem. But that's not for now. What's more sensitive than in-laws? Only one thing in the world. Shidduch. That's the most sensitive. The most sensitive topic. Boy comes home, says, Dad, I met this wonderful young lady. I want to marry her. He thinks it's a perfunctory, asking her permission. Who is she? What is she? No! Yes, if I don't get the answer, no. You may not marry. There's no one in this room who ever was or will be in such a predicament. But what do you do? What does Allah say about such a case? It must have happened somewhere in the past. What does Allah say about such a case? So, the Maharik says you do not have to listen to your father. He gives three reasons. Let's read the third reason first. It's right over here in the next paragraph. Let's read it together. Read it together. Avo b'milz v'lo shayach b'gavei ki hacha. Something which has nothing to do with the father, such as here. Pshita de'en koach la'av l'mchos v'abei. The father cannot protest against the son who's marrying this woman. Lo mishim kovan v'lo mishim mor. Neither nor. Not a matter of kovan nor mor. Because what's kovan? He's a minimalist. On both sides, he's a minimalist. So it would appear. The Marik is a minimalist. Kavod is all it says in the Gemara. What's that? Machilo, mashkeo, mabisho, manilo. Food and drink and helping him out with his coat. What's moro? L'yeshivim kol, l'sosot tevorach. Don't sit in the seat, don't contradict it. And so, or whatever is similar. Huh? On a simple basis, the Marik is saying, there's no obligation to obey a parent, period. On a simple level, that's what he says. He's one of the minimalists. So it would appear at first glance. And there's a ritva. Interesting. An interesting thing. there, it says in the Gemara, the Sech Yavamas, what'll happen if a father tells a son, don't do Hashemah Saved. Don't do it. I don't want you to do it. So we mentioned already last week. Ish imo ve'aviv shtiro ve'shapso sa'i tishmoru. You're not supposed to listen to a father and a mother when they tell you to be Mechal Shabbos. When they tell you not to do Hashemah Saved. You don't listen to them. Says the Ritva, of course it was there. Even if it were not Hashem HaSaved. Let's say it weren't a mitzvah. Your father says, don't go there. That's not part of Kibbutz Aveh. You don't have to obey a parent. Ritva says, Lama Yishmalo, I feel with Ram Hashem HaShus, She'eina Ose Kibbutz, Eleva Ose Dava Lahana Oso. I give him food and drink. That's Kibbutz. So the response sent this to me, Sonny boy, don't go to do Hashem HaSaveda, bring me tea. The simple pshat doesn't make sense, so he's a minimalist. So at first glance, the Marik, who cited in the Ramol HaAlocha, is a minimalist. However, the Chazon Ish, in the next paragraph, is a maximalist, and he even says the Marik agrees with him too. Let's read it together. This is the most important paragraph that we have to read. This is the most important paragraph in these words from the Chazon Ish. Quote, "Dima'av rotze betakonas b'no." The father means for the best interest of his son. "U'mitztair kishano se'isha she'enem l'tzona af." And the father feels terrible when the boy wants to marry someone who's not appropriate. "Lama, why, yehei rashoi l'tzaro, should the son be entitled to cause his father pain, to inflict pain upon his father? Ve'ema b'chal mora, why shouldn't this be included in mora to reveal your father? V'lama dover zeh kal misol ser dvara v'achroas adas v'lvat. If you're not permitted to contradict his words in some just theoretical debate, then how can you in effect contradict his words when you're disobeying him? So he's a maximalist, like the Hamakna, like the Maral, that you have to obey a parent. So then why does the Marik say that you don't have to obey a parent? Iker tamo shal marik, she'ha'av, every word now is gold. She'ha'av, sorich, levatel, ritzono, mipnei, ritzon, beno, v'chiyagam. The father is required to nullify his will in the face of the will of the son in such a situation. And in such a situation, therefore, ein ha'av chaya v'kibbut zeh, he's not required to. Ein ha'ben chaya v'kibbut zeh. The son is not obligated to honor his father in such a situation. Kamo gives an example. She'ein ha'chaya v'litin matanos of chomin chafos. Can you imagine? A boy comes home, a married man, anyone comes home, and he buys himself a BlackBerry. He loves the new BlackBerry. The dad says, "Sonny boy, give me the BlackBerry." I worked so hard, I'm not required to give it to him. Even if one holds what we call Michelle Bain, that the son is obligated to pay money to take care of his father. I'm not required to give him everything. Give me a jacket, give me a tie. Run around the block the whole day. If a parent makes an unreasonable request, the child is not required to obey. That's what the Chazon Ish said. If it's reasonable, and it causes the father pain, which the father really shouldn't be suffering, then you are required to obey a parent, presumably to include the mora, to disregard him as to contradict his words. However, if he makes an unreasonable request, then you're not required to obey. And I demonstrate the proof in the next paragraph that the Chazon Ish is correct. Why? Because the Marik's words were Shayach Begave. Those who have a reference in the first line that we read from the Tam Gimel. It means something that your father has a connection to. Connection to. And in the last line of this page, 190, going over to the next, to 191, those who say that a person is required to spend money to fulfill Kibbutz Aveh, that's only when Ha'av top line, nene miguf adam, when the father enjoys the object. So at first glance, when he says enjoy, he means physical enjoyment. So he's a minimalist again, right? Kibbutz, to give him food and drink. But it's not true. Look at the example he gives. Top line. V'ma'av zorek ha'arnik ishal ha'ben l'toch hayam. The father took the son's wallet and threw it into the ocean. To osu l'achlima, you may not embarrass him. Hainu dafka she'ha'av nene b'ashlach hazu. When the father enjoys, has benefit from throwing the wallet into the sea. What's that? Don the mirma emsa inche beise. The Gemara is in the Masechta Shabbos. The person who rips up garments in his anger is a terrible violation. Anger and maltashkes is terrible. Unless he's trying to show what his boss, how tough he is. Those kids say, wow, dad's a strong guy. They're going to maybe they'll have a little more respect for him. But that's okay. So you throw the wallet into the ocean. Hey, dad means business. Now, there's no physical benefit from that. Just that dad means business. And that's what he calls over here what? He calls that Hana. He calls that Hana. And what Shaykh Begabei means, he has a responsibility to see to it. That to be certain, as we mentioned this morning, a hierarchy that his words should be listened to. So how much more so if the father says to the son, don't marry this woman, because I have a responsibility to marry you off, and this woman is simply not for you. And therefore, the only reason why the son is not required to listen to the father is a very simple one. Because the girl is for him. And the father thinks not for some ridiculous reason. We've heard these before. Why are you marrying that family? I want you to marry a rich girl. She shouldn't have to support you and the young couple. You're marrying someone from a poor family. It's going to come on to Ma and to me. Makes some sense, right? But if you ask me, it's ridiculous. I repeat, if you ask me. Now, who asked to ask the question? Who asked to ask the question? The father says, I'm making an eminently and perfectly reasonable request. You have to obey. And the son says, Dad, your request is unreasonable and ridiculous. So, what do people do when they have a dispute? Who do they go to?
The rabbi.
A rabbi, of course. Okay. So the father says, okay, I'm going to my rabbi. Well, I'm a big donor of the shul, you know, I'm going to my rabbi. And the son says, I'm not that, I'm going to my rabbi. It's Rabbi the Yeshiva, whoever the rabbi happens to be. Who wins? Come on, figure it out. Of course the son. It's the son's responsibility. Tim Shiloh. He goes to his rabbi. Let the father yell at his rabbi. I haven't yelled at many times like that. Many times. You have your hand up, yeah. The question? The answer. Okay. So although the Chazon Ish said this brilliant breakthrough, which I think is this is the crux of the whole matter, he didn't give any sources. He said it out of nowhere. Just said it. You know the Chazon Ish is a star, just says things. But perhaps the source for this Chazon Ish is tonight's shiur. When it says in the Torah, Ish imo v'yaviv tiro, that a woman who's married is exempted from obeying her father and mother because of her responsibilities to her husband. That's a detail. But that detail is telling us a much more overriding principle, that a parent cannot make a request which is unreasonable. It's unreasonable to demand of a married woman that she should be taking care of her parents when she has a primary responsibility to take care of her husband. That's the paradox. But if I'm right, it's equally true with respect to a married man. The question was, from one of the Achronim, why is it saying a married woman? The same thing should be true of a married man. The answer is yes. Yes, it's true. The Torah chose to phrase it this way. Listen now, certainly in those days, there were more responsibilities on a time basis for a married woman to be near her husband than the other way around. As we mentioned last time, she had to be there to serve Rav Moshe's Tshuva, and they didn't have any telephones, she had to be there all the time, she couldn't get out. Whereas the married man was always going around making a living, he wasn't sitting at home. That's what the Torah phrased it in this fashion. But it's a paradigm. It's a critical lesson for all areas. If the request is unreasonable, the parent's request is not to be followed. Not to be followed. That's all. That's all. To my mind, this is the correct and normative halacha. And there is an obligation to obey a parent. Well, there are those who disagree. I know that. But I believe that the more correct psak lahalacha is that there is an obligation to obey a parent, either because of mora lo soser sevara, or because of kibud mora, as the Ramban and the Maral in one place both say. And I know that this seems to be a dissenting opinion, but it seems to me that how should we say it at least? Sveika d'oraisa l'chumra. There was at least at best it's doubtful. As a mitzvah d'oraisa, you have to be take the strict view. But here's the big but: there's only a requirement to obey a parent if the parent's request is reasonable. Is reasonable. And in point of fact, let us talk just for the next just a few more minutes. Just one little more point. What does it mean when the father says, "Don't marry this woman"? You can ignore him. What does that mean? The Ma'arik says, I'm now three lines from the bottom. Shit he isha ha'hogenes lo and koach biyada av limchos biyada bein. What does that mean, isha ha'hogenes lo? If it's a woman that's appropriate for him, the father is not entitled or empowered to protest the son's marrying her. So the Nitziv says, next to the last line, dim yesh bizoyon la'av osur lisa ena. If it's an embarrassment to the father that his son, my son, should marry this woman, then he may not marry her. Okay? But she's not appropriate for him. But I quote the Shevet HaLevi, that's Rav Vozna Shalita, as an opposite inference, go on page 192. Exactly the opposite direction. You know what? Instead of starting the page and let's stop right over here, 8 o'clock. We'll stop this year. I like to start on time and stop on time. So we'll stop right here. Everyone should hold on to this piece of paper. But if you don't want to hold on to it, then you give it back. We'll hold on to it for you. So, Mr. Shem, next week we'll begin with a discussion of this issue of when must you obey a parent, what's considered reasonable and unreasonable. When we finish that, next week's topic, which I guess will be the second half of next week's year, is another ticklish issue, which actually, once again, will enter the parasha. Before you come to Shia next week, make sure to read the last Rashi in Parshas Toldos, which discusses another interesting comment which I have all the time. The son wants to learn Torah. The father says, no, leave the yeshiva and go to work, go to college, etc. What happens then? That's a pretty tough question. So
depends which rabbi he asks.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll, after finishing this, which is tough enough, we'll try to tackle that with the Shem next Moshe Shabbat. Good luck. Some why you Torah?